Daniel chapter number 10. In chapter 10, we'll begin reading verse number 1 down through verse number 14 and then 20 and 21. The Bible says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I had no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, would be April, all right, that's what that would be there, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Euphrates. His body also like the beryl, and his face is the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me and set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I'm come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. Look at verse 20, please. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. Father, thank you so much for the word of God. And I thank you, Lord, for how you opened up the curtain here, so to speak, in the spiritual realm, that you give us some understanding of what happens when men pray. Lord, I pray that you would work in each one of our hearts. I ask that you would stir us, I pray. I claim the blood of Christ over this auditorium tonight, over the minds and hearts of your people tonight. And I ask, God, that that your word not would just be heard, but Father, that there would be faith put to it. Please, God, would you set our hearts tonight to pray? In Christ's name, amen. As we come into the book of Daniel, chapter number 10, we find Daniel, a man who certainly has a heart to please God. This man served God faithfully for decades upon decades. Folks, in very hostile situations and very in fearful situations, and yet he trusted the Lord. He had a heart for God's people, and he is willing here to take the time and put forth the effort to seek the Lord. Now, I want you to see 3 things tonight from Daniel chapter 10, all right, that happens when God's people, now listen, that's you, that's me, all right, when God's people set their hearts to understand God's truth, to set their hearts to seek the Lord. The first thing I wanted to see tonight in verse number 12 is simply this, that God takes notice. All right. God takes notice when somebody gets serious about seeking him. You see, look here at verse 12. It says, Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand. Now watch the next part of the verse there. And to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. Daniel made up his mind to seek the Lord. He set his heart to understand. And he was looking for God's truth. He was looking for God's direction. And folks, we ought to in this time, for sure. All right. And the Bible says he chastened himself before God. This was partial fasting that Daniel was doing. And that's clear there by verse 3, talks about Daniel didn't eat anything sweet, probably only drank water. He ate no meat. He ate no sweet bread or anything like that. Probably bland food and water, just enough to sustain him for these 3 weeks. Okay. The Bible says he didn't anoint himself with oil. I'm not sure exactly what that was, some sort of creature comfort. I don't know. One man even said perhaps he didn't take a bath for those 3 weeks. Whatever the man did, all right, the point is this: he was focusing and giving his time and his attention to the Lord for a specific purpose. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things." About a year and a half after I graduated high school, I was working at Penn State University as a tree climber there. And I would get into these tree climbing competitions. And, you know, I just, as I entered these competitions and things, I just felt like I really needed some strength training. All right. I need to be stronger. I need to get up those trees easier and beat those guys and be faster. And long story short, I started doing this and lifting weights and everything. And here's the thing. Now watch it. I set my heart to do this, to get physically stronger. It's about, you know, I could tell maybe 6 months, a year, really, I could see a difference in that strength. No doubt. All right. But listen, it took some dedication. It took some discipline. All right. It was 3 to 4 times a week. I would go do these workouts and everything. And it was 1 to 2 hours at a time. And it took resolve. Now, how long did it take before I could see a noticeable difference? Oh, about a year. Now, I ask you tonight, how long did it take, according to the scripture, did it take for Daniel to get a response from the heart of God? Well, let's look at the scripture. It says, for from the first day, not 2 weeks, not 6 months, not a year. From the first day that thou didst set thine heart, thy words were heard. You see, he hears God's people when they get serious about seeking him. Look at verse 11 here. The angel calls Daniel a man greatly beloved. Verse 19, he does the same thing. All right. Daniel is an Old Testament saint. He is not in Christ. This man's not in Christ. Not like we are. We're sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's what God calls us in the scripture. All right. In this church age. In Ephesians 1 verse 6, the Bible says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us, watch it now, that's the church, we're accepted in the beloved. We are greatly beloved in Christ. In Ephesians 1 verses 20 and 23, Jesus Christ is set at the right hand of the throne of God, and we are on Christ's right hand in heavenly places. The Bible says, far above all principality and power and dominion and might, above every name that is named, both in this world and that which is to come. Ephesians 2, 6 says that we're raised up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ. Listen, as you sit here tonight, as you're in Christ, you have a oneness with the Lord Jesus that the Old Testament saint Daniel didn't. Now, I want you to think now tonight about ancient, the Tower of Babel in the Old Testament, and how those guys tried to build that tower the whole way up to the Lord. And really, it wasn't to the real God anyway. It was Luciferian, no doubt. But they tried to make this thing so high because they could get this platform of prayer and do all these sacrifices and all these things to try to please some God that they were trying to please. I want to say tonight, you have a position in Jesus Christ in heavenly places. That platform of prayer, listen, it's forever. Amen. And it's eternal. And it is what you have tonight to go before the throne of grace to pray for your nation, to pray for what you're dealing with in your life. And I'll say this tonight, God takes notice when you set your heart to do that. Notice here, Daniel was serious about seeking the Lord. He made up his mind to do it. Whether it's partial fasting, whether it's fasting, whatever it may be. I want to say this. You will know when you're serious about it, and God will know. It's plain and simple. So number one, when men set their hearts to pray, God takes notice. Number two tonight is simply this. Number two, another thing that happens when men set their heart to pray is that prayer hinders Satan's plan. It pulls down his strongholds of deception. And verse 13, look at it with me. It says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Satan wants man, you sir, you ma'am, deceived. He wants everybody deceived. His goal, world dominion. That's his goal. Kind of interesting that computer program for the election is called Dominion, isn't it?
Yeah.
Think on it. Satan wants dominion. Do you know why that computer program is called Dominion? Because then the Democrats or this world Luciferian government come in and take dominion. That is exactly what they want to do. Folks, that's exactly what we need to pray about tonight. Prayer causes the mighty angels of God and the demonic spirits of Satan to battle in the heavenlies in the air. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Over what? Here it is, world dominion. That's what it is. Over control of the souls and minds of men, over nations, over governments, over personal lives, over families, over churches, right? Yes, sir. George H.W. Bush in 1991 made a speech. And in that speech, he made a reference that he said about bringing in a new world order where nation would cooperate with nation for peace. And he went on and on and on. All right. And also in that same speech, he made reference to the illumination of 1,000 points of light. And he put that in that thing like it was so wonderful and great. Do you know what 1,000 points of light is? 1,000 points of light is a satanic ritual. And if you look up too much, you're not going to want to, you won't go down that rabbit hole too far, Christian. 1,000 points of light is in reference to a satanic ritual. And I want to tell you tonight, George Bush's boy, he'd know better. No, sir. No, sir. Neither is Clinton's, neither is the Obama's, and right up through. All right? And I want to say there's a man in office that is better, and he's in there right now. And this is our chance. That's what we need to pray about tonight. This is it. The reason things are breaking loose is because God's people did pray. Because there is praying going on. Even the movements on the internet of the patriots they're just riddled with scripture. I get it. Some are reformed theology. Some are charismatic. Okay. But you know what? You know what they're holding up? Right here. That's what they're holding up. You talk about QAnon and all those things. You say what you want. But I want to say it promotes prayer. We need to pray. We need to pray. Yep, there's things going on in our government. We don't know. We don't understand. But the fact is that they need help up in prayer. Because I'll tell you right now, America is on the precipice. It's going to be either communism or it's going to be freedom. And it's a battle. It's a war. They don't want, you say, well, the best thing we can do is vote. They don't want your vote to count. It's as simple as that, because John 1 and verse 19 says the whole world lieth in wickedness. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, in whom the God of this world, that's Satan, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. Satan rebels. He delights. He works in the midst of disobedient and unbelieving saints. He delights in our prayerlessness because, as I studied for this, and it's been too a while coming, I've started giving other messages and all, and I'm working on this thing. How convicted I am when I read the principles and understand Daniel chapter number 10 and the battle that's going on. He doesn't want us to pray. This is exactly why we're gonna open this up a little bit here in Daniel chapter 10. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When we go ahead and go into that prayer closet, dear friends, I want to say right now, we're submitting to the Lord. Satan's going. He's going somewhere because he is resisted. You throw a ball up in the air, it's going to come down. That's the law of nature. That's what we're talking about here. All right, here in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now, by the way, who is Persia? Iran. Yes, sir. It's modern day Iran. That's right. That's who Persia is. Modern day Iran. Interesting, isn't it? Yep. A demonic general of Satan's army over Persia desperately tries to stop God's messenger from getting information to Daniel. A major battle of these unseen forces in the air, in the atmosphere. You know, probably if you meditate on this, you'd find more reasons. But I found two reasons why Satan didn't want this information to get going here. Number one is this. Greece was about to take over Persia, and it was going to happen in a period of time here. How do we know that? Because we know what the history books say. All right. Satan always has a plan and an interest in the affairs of men and world domination. That's what he wants. So that's number one. But number two, did you know that the chapters 11 and 12 of Daniel, when Daniel was made to understand this vision of God, are some of the most contested portions of the Word of God by liberals and atheists today? Did you know that? Yes, they are, because they lay out perfectly history of the nations before it ever took place. And the liberal says it can't be, because if that was true and that was written before it ever happened, it would have been a miracle, and we don't believe in them.
Right.
That's what they say. Right there. It proves the Word of God. That's what the saint does when he comes to God in prayer. He proves the Word of God, not only to himself, but to others. Even if it's by accident in his own heart and mind. You see, God blesses it. He blesses it. And Satan here in Daniel chapter 10 is sending his big guns in to stop this communication between the God of heaven. Now watch it now. One lonesome man. Just one. Amazing. All this going on, it's just one guy praying. Watch it now. He doesn't want Daniel to, really the human race, to understand what's going to take place. Now, I'm going to ask you tonight, do you think there's a demonic prince over the United States tonight? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What about over the White House tonight? What about over the church house tonight? What about over your house tonight? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, what do you think about Greg Township down here? How about all the things that are going on politically in the school board and all those things? You bet that's going on. No doubt. Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse 25 that every kingdom and city or house divided against itself, that it cannot stand. That's what he said. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus is talking about an enemy, a thief that's trying to come up into the sheepfold some other way. He said, you know, that thief, he only comes to steal and to kill and destroy. That thief's an enemy. And that's Satan's work. He's the father of lies. And as we see here in Daniel chapter 10, prayer pulls down satanic strongholds, verse number 13. Because guess what? Daniel's division got out, didn't it? We have chapters 11 and 12 of the book of Daniel. Amen? We have it. You see, it pulls down these strongholds. It foils, it hinders Satan's plans and agenda. And there is a plan and agenda on the United States tonight, because as the United States goes, the world goes. That's a fact. Why do you think the Patriots over in Africa, even in Europe, and even in these other places, even in the Ukraine, are all for Donald Trump? Everybody's watching America because the way America goes, the world goes. And I want to tell you, this outfit wants communistic, satanic submission from everybody.
Amen.
That's what's going on. Oh, how we need to set our hearts to prayer. tonight, through this week, through the next week. It doesn't stop. You see, God takes notice. It pulls down enemy strongholds. But number three, and finally, prayer covers the details. Say, what do you mean about that, preacher? Look at the end of verse number 13. It says here, Michael, I'm going to start in the middle. Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I watch it now, and I, this angel's talking. He says, I remained there with the kings of Persia. He remained there. Think on it now. You see, there's about to be a great military conflict between Persia and Greece, all right? And we see here that these demons, or these demonic spirits, are wanting to influence both sides to accomplish Satan's will. Because you got the prince of Persia, you got the prince of Grecia. Prince of Grecia, they know better. All right? They want to influence both sides. Now, when world leaders sit down at a table to discuss their agenda and what they're going to do, whether they're on the same side or whether they're not, all right, they are sitting down to decide the direction or the plans of nations. And spiritual entities influence for good or for evil. That's that wrestling, Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. You got what I'm saying, all right? They influence for bad or for good. And that word remainder says, I remained with the kings of Persia. That angel of God remained or stayed with the kings of Persia. That's the elders. That's high-level government officials, all right? That's our intelligence agencies. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what's going on at the planning tables. If you think that the Democrats got that Dominion software in every state just by accident, you're out of your mind. That's a plan. That thing's been planned, all right? The Patriots will stop them here, and they'll come over here. It's chess. And we need to pray. Amen. He says, and then now look with me at verse number 20. Almost done here, but we'll go to prayer. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. Watch it now. This angel's going to return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, what? The prince of what? The prince of Grecia shall what? He'll come. When a good angel goes, the bad one takes its place. Don't give place to the what? Ephesians. What gives place to the devil? A bitter spirit. Anger. When we don't let it go. I dare say that there are some laws in this in the Old Testament that we can see so clearly in the New Testament, can't we? The New Testament reveals what's going on in the Old, and vice versa. Given place, it's right there in Daniel. The one angel goes, the other one comes. He's giving place. You see? Yeah. When you and I are walking in God's Spirit, right, with a right heart attitude, being sensitive in prayer and meditation, it brings God's purposes to fruition over nations, over churches, over families, over personal lives. Prayer covers the smallest, minute details, yes, in the peace treaties. Are you getting it? The Iran deal. All right, what a mess, okay? Trump comes in, he negotiates between this, that, and that, and that, and the other. Listen, there's definitely... May I say it now? Eyes and ears of spirits watching everything going on, trying to decide what's what. Yes, sir. Trying to sway it one way or the other. And your prayer, sir, ma'am, it matters. Daniel's moved the whole thing, didn't it? One guy. What are you going to do tonight, Church of God? You say, oh, well, we're just a couple of people. Look, not many showed up. No, it's a powerhouse here tonight. That's what it is. You think about it. Devil don't want this happening.
Right.
If you had my day, you'd understand. He didn't want me happening. I'll tell you that. How about it? Hey, that's just how it is. All right. And we all got stuff we're dealing with. All right. Yes, sir. Initiated by one praying man. Not now. Hey, listen. I went to Bible college one semester before I met Jennifer. We were there from two different worlds. All right. So to speak. I was from the north. She was from the south. You'll see where I'm going in just a minute, all right? I lived in the country. She lived in the city. I grew up in a blue collar family. She grew up in a white collar family. She came from a split home situation. I didn't come from a split home situation. She likes lots of mayonnaise on her sandwich and I can't even do it. All right. You get the picture. Two different people. There's one thing Pretty and I had in common. All right. And it was, I'll tell you, it was the main thing. And that was, we both wanted to serve God with our lives. And we were seriously considering about joining up and being partners. Amen. That's what we were doing. And on our date times, we'd sit across from each other at the table, believe it, at arm's length apart or whatever they wanted. We made the rules. All right. And we would talk a lot and we got to know each other. We talked of marriage, perhaps. And in my heart, I wanted to marry her. I wanted to be with her all the time. Do you know what the problem I had? Here's the holdup. I didn't know if God wanted that. I didn't. And I was scared to death that God didn't want it, because I was going to cry if God didn't want it. But I want to tell you, I wanted to be sure that God wanted it. And I'd spend, it was almost 6 weeks, I'd go out every day after class, after we're done a little after lunch or so, at Ambassador, I'd go out and I'd sit in a patch of woods, because I'm a woods guy. College is college. And I was there because God's word was there, but I wasn't a crazy guy about it. All right. I wasn't crazy about it. Okay. And I'd go out in the woods and sit, and that was peaceful. And boy, I'll tell you what. And I asked the Lord about that almost every day, and had other things to pray about. And God, that's where you're going to develop a prayer life, young person, is by yourself in prayer. In this book, you say, I don't know how to. God will teach you how to. And it'll become so near and so dear to you. You'll come out of the prayer closet and you'll know you're a child of God so much you can't deny anything. You can't deny it one bit. And you will get answered. Now, I say all that to say this. And I can remember one day that God showed me through prayer, through his word, that if I didn't marry that lady right there, that I would have been out of his will. Now, listen. When God showed me that so clear, I came out of my prayer closet that day, out of those woods, with a great joy and rejoicing because God had given me an answer. You want to talk about confidence? Could have never talked me out of it after that. And people did. Tried to talk her out of it too, didn't they? Yep. No, sir. Prayer, why? What am I saying? Prayer covers the smallest and biggest details of our lives. When Daniel set his heart to pray and to understand and to seek the Lord, he influenced the course of nations. And dear friend, may I say that God will use you tonight to influence the course of this nation, the course of other nations, as you set your heart to prayer. Yes, in personal matters. Yes. But also on the world scene. You see, Daniel got understanding of world events. He received personal comfort and direction, as I did there. He was clearly an instrument God used to carry out his plan and his purpose. What's God speaking to you about tonight? And may I say tonight, I want to encourage you tonight as we go to prayer, let God have his way. And I want you to understand something, Christian. You are not, it's not just, oh, ho-hum, we're going to pray down through the prayer list. No. I'm not saying the prayer list is bad neither, okay? I'm saying tonight, understand that you are seated in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ. And your audience tonight is so much greater than the president of the United States. It's unreal, right? So let's go ahead. And Pastor, if you have a way, I'm just going to have folks, they can pray together or by themselves, and just go ahead and pray and pour your heart out to the Lord. Let him have his way.